Scripture passage, Luke chapter 11, Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13, Luke 11, 1 through 13, page 1480 in your pew Bibles, 1480, Luke 11, verses 1 through 13. We read these words. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Well, then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked. And my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beloved in Christ, it's one of those most famous sets of verses in the whole Bible. Probably more people memorize it than any other passage. It's the Lord's Prayer. There aren't too many passages in God's Word where I could say, "Now say it with me," and you'd say it with me. So say it with me. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." See? Early on in my ministry, officiating a funeral, I led the people in the Lord's Prayer at that funeral. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." And we got to the next part. And you must know something. The group attending the funeral was about half Christian Reformed and half Catholic. So quite a few confidently said, "And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us," which is fine. But as you know, it takes a bit longer to say that than "forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors," the way the Christian Reformed folks and I were used to saying it. So we had to wait for a second or two while the trespassers finished up their trespassing. Still all fine and good. The problem came when the minister leading the prayer, notice I've slipped into the third person to deflect the humiliation of what comes next. The minister lost his train of thought, all that trespassing. And he didn't start the next line of the prayer. Mental block. 1 second, 2 seconds. 3 seconds go by. All those, like a hissing snake, all those trespass S's were echoing in my empty brain, or his empty brain. The silence was deafening, let me tell you, until a forever blessed elderly Catholic lady sitting in the back belted out, "And lead us not into temptation." And she got us all back on track. I've never been so happy to be led not into temptation, that's for sure. It's a beautiful prayer. It's an inspirational prayer, of course, a thoughtful and reflective prayer, a communal prayer, yet so very personal. And it's the prayer Jesus taught his disciples when they asked him to teach them to pray. So it's Jesus' prayer. What's not to love about the Lord's Prayer? A prayer that's so brief in length and yet so cosmic in depth and in breadth. The words are rich with meaning. We find the words of the Lord's Prayer in a certain place in the Word of God, in Luke chapter 11. And you'd think, based on how popular and famous that the Lord's Prayer has become, that we'd know a little bit more about it, don't you? That something has become this important to all of Christendom, that all kinds of facts would be known about it. That Luke, the writer who is, you know, we call him Dr. Luke, he's very learned, he's so detailed in other places in his book, he would be just as detailed here, if not more so. Jesus said this prayer to his disciples on the 12th day of the second month of the year 22 AD. He was passing by a sycamore tree on the outskirts of the city of Bethlehem. It was just after 4 in the afternoon when Bartholomew asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." And Jesus sat down under that tree, and a ray of sunlight angled through the tree and backlit the Lord Jesus as he began to speak. And in that authoritative voice that Jesus so often used, he began saying these words that were captured forever, "Our Father." We don't get any of that, do we? There's very little detail. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. We don't get the when or the where, no setting whatsoever. Just one day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray," just like John taught his disciples. We don't know where this little lesson took place. We don't know when. We don't even know who asked Jesus for this prayer. Not much detail. Have you ever wondered why that is? I want to suggest to you that maybe the reason there for very little detail is that this was a very common practice for Jesus. This was nothing out of the ordinary. It was nothing the disciples hadn't witnessed before. Jesus, Luke tells us in Luke 5:16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. This was just another one of those days. Another one of those times when Jesus was praying. The disciples had probably seen this so often, they never really bothered to take note of when this teaching took place. It could have been anywhere. They saw it happening all the time. It could have been any one of those times when Jesus had finished praying. So maybe the point here that Luke is making is not so much what Jesus told them to pray, the content, as important as it is, but rather the point Luke could be making is that Jesus prayed a lot. He prayed so much, in fact, and the disciples saw it happening so much that finally one of them realized, hey, maybe we should be doing this too. Maybe we ought to be following our teacher's lead. He's praying a lot. Maybe we ought to too. So the question is, how might we go about doing that, Jesus? Could you tell us? Maybe, just maybe, what the disciples were really asking was not so much about getting the exact words to the prayer nailed down for memory. Maybe it wasn't making Jesus choose whether debt or trespass fit better. Maybe what they wanted and were asking for from Jesus was to help them figure out how they could turn their entire lives into extended acts of prayer, like Jesus seemed to do every day. Maybe they were trying to learn how they could be a part of that family. What it meant to pray when you were in Jesus' family. In a family that included, listen, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Think of it. This makes sense when you think about it, because the very words of the prayer suggest that what the disciples want, or what Jesus wants to give them, or a little of both, they suggest that what's being asked for here is the recipe for a life of prayer. To be prayers in the family of God. Or to be people who make their lives extended acts of prayer. To say it another way. Look at the words themselves. They are lifetime things. Not just for the next half hour or so things. They are requests for stuff that needs to happen all day. Every day. Anytime. To the end of time. And the words encompass all reality. Hallowed be your name. Make your holy name great. All creation, the entire universe, it's huge. Your kingdom come, your will be done. That's big too, isn't it? What about daily bread? Every meal, every snack, every time we eat anything, we eat a whole lot throughout the day. What about forgiveness? Well, that sure needs to be ongoing, doesn't it? That's an all-the-time type thing. That's asking God for his forgiveness all the time, even as we all the time are ready to forgive. Not just one Sunday a month or a couple times a year or every other Tuesday. No, all the time. It's an all-the-time, everywhere prayer, isn't it? How about temptation? Is that just for next Friday night or for the next few minutes of worship that are left? No, it's a plea for protection from temptation that is constant, that is forever. How can I turn my whole life into an extended act of prayer? That's what's being asked and answered here. That's what they saw Jesus doing. That's what the content of this prayer shows us too, that all of life is this extended act of prayer. An act of extended prayer. That's also what Jesus' two examples teach. The examples don't reinforce that the words of the prayer are so memorizable and beautiful and meaningful. The examples Jesus gives his disciples reinforce what the disciples are truly after here, or what Jesus truly wants to give them. A teaching on our whole lives being extended acts of prayer. So there's that first example from Jesus about a man who goes to his friend's house and just keeps knocking until he finally gets an answer. Don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children are in bed. I can't get up to help you. But the man persists, and finally the homeowner gets up, gives him as much as he needs. What kind of illustration is that? What does it teach? Jesus teaches us about persistence in prayer and boldness to come again and again and again. Persist, says Jesus. All of life, the entirety of your life, is an extended act of prayer. This example teaches that. Keep knocking, middle of the night, so what? Keep knocking. Doesn't matter when. Life is full of times when you're up in the middle of the night. You need to pray. Ongoing prayer. It doesn't always fit right at 6 p.m. at the supper table. Prayer can't always find those convenient times. Prayer may pop up all over the place. It doesn't always belong in a prayer closet, hidden away. Life's not always that neat or polite or safe. Sometimes life gets messy, impolite, and dangerous. And Jesus says, that's okay. Prayer can be messy and impolite and dangerous. If that's what you're going through in your life, well, that's what you bring in prayer. Ongoing prayer. All of life, an extended act of prayer. Is it okay that your prayers might come at bumpy, unpredictable times? Of course. Life is bumpy and unpredictable. Over the whole sweep of your life, there can be all different kinds of prayers. And there should be. That's okay. If all of life is to be an extended act of prayer, God would expect nothing less. God would expect prayers prayed in danger, in trouble, in bad times, in good times, in joyful times, in safe times too, in all times. That goofy neighbor knocking on your door, asking for bread at midnight, that story reminds us again about this. Next example, the father-child example. Dad, can I have a fish? Dad, can I have a fish? Dad, can I have a fish? Or make it this instead. Dad, can you help me go fishing? In a little while. Dad, can you help me go fishing? I said, in a little while. Dad, can you help me go fishing? Not quite yet. Dad, you said you would help me go fishing. Stop asking me that. But Dad, you promised you'd help me go fishing. Can we please go fishing? All right, fine. Here are the worms. Dad, can you put the worm on? I'll put a worm on. Now you're all set. So fish already. Dad, can you help me cast? It's the kid-parent example. So many of us have lived it on at least one of the ends, right? The kid end and parents and caregivers at the parent end. But what is it teaching? It's not so much about what is being asked for, is it? It's about rather a son wanting to stay connected in all of his living with his dad. And that's what the teaching is here. In all my life, in every last part of it, Jesus says, oh, I want to stay connected with my Father. I want to be in the family of God with my Father. I have a never-ending desire to stay connected to my Father, the giver of all good gifts. That's prayer in the family of God. The words, sure, they're great. But the teaching that Jesus is getting across to his disciples is that their whole lives through, they ought to be turning those lives into extended acts of prayer. Come what may. Terrible times, terrific times. Jesus says they ought to want to tell their Father about it. They ought to want to stay connected to him. Aren't they wonderful examples Jesus uses? So down to earth, so homey, that they make God the Father look like he gets sick and tired of hearing from us. They make him look as if he begrudgingly gives us answers to prayer. Think about that. Can you imagine if it were up to us? That's what we'd think, to keep all this prayer straight. How frazzled we'd be. Imagine you went to the Meijer store, and while you were walking around, a friend came up to you and I said, hey, can I borrow $5? I forgot my wallet at home. And you said, well, sure. Gave him $5, and as you stepped away, he said, thanks. Somebody else came up to you, an old classmate, the one that you had asked out years ago in high school, and she said no, and she wasn't very nice about it then, and all of a sudden, she's standing there in Meijer store with you and apologizes for how she treated you back then, and you say, no problem, all is forgiven. And then someone comes up and starts talking to you about some work you did for them, about how he so appreciates it, and he tells you again and again how helpful it was. Thank you, thank you, thank you. A little embarrassed, you say, no problem, no problem. And this keeps happening. You've moved only into one aisle. And by now, 12 people have stopped you and said something. They've asked you for something, or said sorry for something, or thanked you for something. And to your amusement, or concern, or horror, you see that there is a line of people waiting to talk to you. It stretches down an entire aisle, and you peek around the end cap and notice that the line snakes its way around every single aisle in Meijer, and you follow it until you see that it even ends up going out the door into the parking lot, down Clyde Park on its way to 28th Street, and all these people are wanting a piece of you. I'm sure at that point you'd probably pass out or lose your mind. This is God, beloved. Think about that. And all at the same time, not one at a time, all at the same time. The sheer volume of it staggers the imagination. And Jesus says, here are some examples. Be persistent. Do it at midnight. Just keep on bringing your concerns incessantly, audaciously. Make your whole life a prayer because he can take it. You're part of his family. Friends, we wouldn't last 3 minutes in his job. But don't worry, these human examples, they help explain things for us. Yet they only go so far. They can't explain God, of course, not totally. God somehow can keep all of this straight. God won't lose his mind from it all. God won't get exasperated with anyone who turns his or her life into an extended act of prayer. In fact, it's just what he wants you to do. Anytime, any place, any emotion, any circumstance, any tragedy, and any celebration, God wants you to want him there with you. I think that's great stuff that Jesus teaches here. And it gets even better when he says, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That's another wondrous thing about prayer. When you're asking God for things, it doesn't matter what it is, a cure for cancer in your life, protection from harm for a relative in the military, a good loving spouse, a pregnancy, a beautiful day, forgiveness, rain, a day without depression. It doesn't matter what it is. When you ask for anything, God will give you his Holy Spirit. Deep down, that's what we're all asking for. A deeper and deeper indwelling of the Holy Spirit who brings to us the fullness of Jesus Christ in our hearts. Whether we know it or not, that's what we're truly pleading for. And God delivers. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Well, sounds like we're going to get everything we ask for, doesn't it? And the answer is, we do. Now, we don't always get it the way we want, but God gives his Holy Spirit in increasing measure, even when he says no to a request. Spare my husband, says a wife watching her husband die, and it may not happen. But along the way, the Holy Spirit has come in deeper, gone deeper in his indwelling of this praying woman. She is anointed again and again and again as God answers her prayer. This passage reminds us that even though sometimes God answers in a way we don't want him to, that doesn't mean he loves us any less. Even the Son of God, God's own Son, forsaken on the cross by the Father, ends up at his Father's right hand in the family of God, so that the gentle ministry of the Holy Spirit can go on. So that prayer in the family of God becomes for us every time a time when the Spirit proves to us that God still loves us and assures us that the good news of resurrection is still true and encourages us with the truth that Jesus still lives in our hearts. That's prayer in the family of God. Anytime. Any place, all the time, everywhere, our whole lives through. Come what may, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, help us to be prayers. While we breathe, we pray, as the old hymn has it. Help us to be that. Help us to be people who, our whole lives through, our life is an extended act of prayer. Oh, we need to concentrate on things right in front of us, but remind us always that through it all, we're speaking to you. We're speaking to the one who has introduced us and welcomed us into the family of God, God the Father, God the Son,
God the Holy Spirit, and you invited us into that family. So let our lives be an extended conversation with you, our family. In Jesus' name, for his sake, and because of him, we can pray. Amen.